Good morning, my name is Tess Newton-Kane. I'm a research associate with the Development Policy Centre. And this morning I'm very pleased and honoured to have the opportunity to meet with Sir Makerere Morauta. Sir Makerere, welcome to Port Vila and thank you very much for making some time to chat with me this morning.
Thank you very much, it's a pleasure.
Okay, so for those of our listeners who aren't up to speed, I understand this is the sixth country you've visited as part of your team's review of the Pacific Plan.
Yes, the team has visited Samoa, Tonga, Tuvalu, Australia, New Zealand, and now Vanuatu.
Okay, so welcome to Vanuatu and welcome to Melanesia.
Thank you.
Okay, so based on what you've learnt so far and the conversations you've had so far, I'd be really interested to know, from a regional perspective, what you perceive to have been the big things or the key things that have changed in the region since the Pacific Plan was first written and adopted.
The first point I want to make is that the Pacific Plan implementation has produced mixed results. There have been successes, failures, and others remain unimplemented. For instance, the University of South Pacific, Pacific Fisheries Authority, they are success stories. Pacific Forum Line, Air Pacific, they've gone backward. Bulk buying of fuel and pharmaceuticals, I understand, our initiatives remain unimplemented. Now these are the questions, why others have failed, why success and why others remain not implemented.
Okay, so, but looking at the environment, what do you think is different about the Pacific now from when the plan was written?
Another change is the emergence of China in the region. And China is concentrating on bilateral relationship. The Pacific Plan is a regional framework. It's a club. And China is not a member of that club. China is large, it's going to be very large, and will be expending in a huge amount of resources. How do we integrate? So emergence of China. My talks with Pacific leaders gave me the impression that they welcome China because Chinese are very easy to talk to. They understand, they interact freely, and their aid lack conditionalities. So China is here to stay, and the leaders are welcoming China's stay. The question remains of how do we integrate Chinese aid with other donors, multilateral and bilateral. The other is the emergence of regional subgroups. MSG is well and truly alive, and it's going to be growing and getting older. Pondalesian group is emerging. Not the first picture that's created when you mention sub-regionalism is that it's going to corrode the integrity of the regional framework. I'd like to ask that question in a different way. What are the roles that regional groups can play to strengthen regionalism, cooperation and integration? Pacific Islanders economically have grown. Papua New Guinea now is very rich now, richer than before in terms of resources. Others have gone backward. Samoa is doing very well. Independence. People are beginning to interpret what independence means. And Pacific Islanders are more aware of what is around in the world and have expectations and have ideas of what they want to be. So those are the other changes I see having taken place since the plan was introduced 10 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to pick up on a point you made about the success stories of the Pacific Plan. Yeah, and you made a couple of references. You referred to USP and you referred to the Foreign Fisheries Agency. So it would be good to get a sense from you of why you think those are the successes, what other successes there might be, and what has made them successful.
There's no easy answer. Because Forum Line is clearly much needed in the Pacific, but it has failed. Why? I don't know. What I think is perhaps a more rigorous process of priority setting, which will require a feeling of ownership by the Pacific Islanders. Political commitment is generated and given, resources are allocated, and most importantly, that the donor agencies, whether it's bilateral or multilateral, are convinced. But more importantly, Pacific Island countries, as independent nations, must see that these are of benefit to them when it is implemented regionally. Because all of this requires pooling of sovereignty, giving up some of yours, but so a more rigorous analysis to make sure that the benefits of this are understood and appreciated by the member countries.
Okay, that's great, thank you. So just to talk a little bit more about the review and from the point of view of the methodology of the review, could you give us some indication of how the review is going to be conducted and what the thinking was that went into the development of that methodology?
Our leaders have described the Pacific Plan as a living document. And they are keen to make sure that after 10 years, given the mixed results, given the changes, political, economic, in the Pacific, the question is the plan relevant, given all these changes? And what's the roadmap for the next 10 years? And I think that is the underlying reason why the plan appropriate, relevant, and where do we go from here? So that's the plan. And the methodology would require us visiting all the countries, 18 of them, including the associate members, French Polynesia and New Caledonia, talking to leaders, talking to political leaders, talking to non-state actors, talking to academics, talking to public servants, and other people who are interested in the Pacific to see their view of the Pacific, where we are, how have we traveled, and where we go from here. So it's really just digging and drilling and hunting and gathering of information and processing that. But what is now becoming very clear to me is my own, it's too early now, we haven't been to many countries, but at this stage, the question of ownership, can we devise a process that will generate feeling of ownership by the Pacific Islanders, that will obtain political commitments, that will use regional groups, and that will generate, attract resources from donors, development partners. There has to be a process which will encompass all of that. So, and a process that also sets priorities. Mm-hmm. Whose priorities are they? Because many people are saying that these are priorities of the, what they call crop agencies. These are the agencies, including South Pacific, University of South Pacific. They advise our leaders, here are the priorities. Then they claim that they were political legitimacy. The process is not political. It's got to have political input, stronger political input. So how can we commit our leaders to make sure that the priorities reflect theirs and that they understand the processes, they understand and appreciate the benefits, and they understand where the inputs might be needed. So it is a process item that I am thinking about, because all the stories I'm hearing is very mixed. But how do we get them involved? That is now the outcome I hope we can address. Mm-hmm. Don't know whether we'll answer it or not.
One of the interesting aspects of the methodology of the review is that you have a website portal by which basically anybody can make a submission to the team.
Yes, we are not only, you know, talking to leaders, prime ministers, foreign ministers, finance ministers, directors general, secretaries, departmental heads, business people, regional organizations. We are inviting submissions from individual groups. And it's up to them to tell us whether they want us to make it public or mix it up with all other materials. So we welcome submissions from individuals and organizations in the Pacific.
Okay, so I think that's quite a new departure as a methodology for collecting information from around the region. And maybe that reflects the fact that so many more people in our region are now able to access the internet and use those new technologies that maybe weren't available previously.
Yes, I just hope that people will see the past, but not dwell on the past. Learn from the past, help us to go to the future, because it's the future that we want. And future is becoming quite complicated. Many factors, including the majority of Pacific Islanders. So any help, any suggestion that, you know, individuals or groups can make will be most welcome. Yeah. We want to be, we were told to be as open, as consultative, you know, as we can, you know. So that is why we, you know, we have to visit every country.
Mm-hmm.
Not an easy task.
It's a big task.
But we will. And we are hoping that by May, the team will have worked out the general directions of our inquiries. We will test that with the Pacific Plan Advisory Committee, PPAC, in Fiji, because that's the group which is made up of all the member countries.
Mm-hmm.
That is the steering group. And then we'll see where we go from there, get the benefit of their advice, and see what we do. After that, when the report is completed, I'd like to visit selected countries to just test the waters.
Mm.
To see what we produced.